Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your favorite podcast show about animation. And today we are going to be talking about a very famous classic film from the late 1970s, The Muppets, the original Muppets movie.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
This is a film that was directed by James Frawley, a British actor and director, and produced by the infamous Jim Henson of Sesame Street. And it's got like the deeply, like a deeply rooted sense of like Monty Python-esque humility and like humor. The story tells us about the origins of the Muppets. So we see Kermit trek across the United States to Hollywood in hopes to join the show business, the world of show business. So he meets a lot of the well-known Muppets along his journey. And I think he just kind of like recruits them as a part of his shtick. And it just becomes a funny show. Like, it's just funny to watch. They bond, they grow together. Some of these characters that he meets along the way include Fozzie Bear, Miss Piggy, Sam Eagle, Big Bird, and many, many more. The main plot point, I think, in this film that kind of like leads to kind of like further the plot along is really this pursuit by this restaurateur who's like this evil restaurateur. I think his name is Doc. And he's after Kermit for his legs or really it's after Kermit for his dancing legs and to make him a mascot for his new frog leg restaurant.
Very good. Very good. But I must say, it's very apparent that you're excited to talk about this film, but we haven't done something that's very important first.
What would that be?
Introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Garrison. And this is?
Saga Podcast. Did I really not say that?
Nope.
Well, we did it this time. Now we did it. Okay.
All right. Well, this was my first true Muppets experience, and I say that this is my true first experience because I don't really remember the last time. Because I think the last time that I actually saw something Muppets was in the theaters, Muppets in Space, I think. Like I was like 4 or 5 or something. But I don't really remember that. Except that Gonzo was my favorite character back then, and I still like him now when I was watching this. So 5-year-old me had good taste, I guess.
That's awesome. Yeah, this was, I think, a lot of people our age's childhood and, you know, older. This is just a memorable thing. Like, and the Sesame Street still runs to this day. I think they still make episodes. So yeah, I mean, it's amazing that we have this educational, like fun thing that's just so creative and it's a world in its own. I mean, they literally create like a world where puppets and people live together and it's so fun to watch.
Right, right. And your comment about this franchise sort of being for us, like our generation. Well, I think that's a testament to the quality of work that the Henson Studios put in into their works, because, you know, like, these characters are sort of immortalized same way with like Disney characters or Looney Tunes, or even like more recently like SpongeBob. So I think that the richness of these characters really like speaks to people.
And they really are rich characters. They're, you know, Jim Henson was a genius in the way that he was able to bring puppets to life. And when I mean that they're brought to life, you know, obviously they're powered by people, human beings, right? But the actors inside of them are what brings these characters to life. So these actors have this amazing ability, and Jim Henson had this amazing ability to bring that out in actors. Okay. So that was, I mean, inspirational. I mean, Jim Henson is along the lines of like, what is it? The show where it's like the red shirt show. Oh man. Mr. Rogers. Is it Mr. Rogers?
With the sweater?
Yeah, with the sweater. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's along the lines of like Mr. Rogers or, you know, Bob Ross, where he's just like this saintly, like amazing person who brings people to life instead of like bringing them down, which we all see a lot of in Hollywood. So it's great to see this.
Right. Shall we just start to go into plot points and things we liked, things we may not have liked?
Yeah, tell me what you liked.
I liked the that's a good question. What did I like? Now, it's not to say what I did like, but more so what liked me. and if it likes me, then...
You must like it back?
Well, I like things that like me.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, everybody does. Everybody likes to be liked.
I don't know where I'm going with this bit. but no, the humor, like, I really liked the humor. The characters are really mean-spirited, and I like that's like my kind of humor, where people are kind of mean to each other, but there's like a kernel of like in there, where they're secretly sort of fond about the other characters or something.
Yeah, the characters have so much life. Like, how do you create that backstory? Like, every character has got this like crazy backstory that we have no idea about, right? But they just have this, like, they have this. It's all in somebody else's mind, and they brought this to life. It's so amazing.
And I think, you know, usually on, because this is basically a road trip film, and road trip movies are fun in that you get to see a lot of locations, and pretty much like a real road trip, which I would love to like road trip across the country someday. I think that would be pretty cool. But you're like getting these small peeks into people's lives. Like, you're basically just stepping into someone's life for a day or a couple of days, and just seeing how varied people's lives can be is really interesting.
Yeah, it's those little nuances that, you know, we see in our regular day-to-day that bring us joy, typically. Unless it's stressful, right? You know, unless it's, like, too much. But, yeah, like, you know, generally life can be pretty light and pretty fun as long as you're able to make fun of it, you know? But if it gets to the point where life gets to be so hard that you're no longer able to laugh at yourself, then I think maybe it's always a good time to reassess where you're headed, right? Or, you know, what it is that, you know, is going on.
Sure. But that really didn't seem like a response to my statement.
It was just like a side thought, I guess. Like, side thought. Anyway, yeah.
Well, there was Steve Martin. Steve Martin was in this film, and he has to be a vampire, right?
Of course. Like,
he doesn't age.
Have you seen him since, like, his last film, Cheaper by the Dozen? Is that his last film?
No. Can't be, right?
Have you seen him in anything since Cheaper by the Dozen?
What are you trying to say?
I'm just curious. Maybe he is hiding in a grave somewhere. Hiding in a tomb.
That's morbid.
No. He's a vampire. It's what vampires do.
I see. No, he's in... let's see. He has over 67 acting credits. Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders in the Building. This year. Cruel Shoes, Father of the Bride, Part 3-ish.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that film. They had a Part 3? Wow. All right, let's move on. Anyway, Richard Pryor. Yeah, he's the man. He brings it in every film.
Didn't get much screen time. Well, I guess neither did Steve Martin. I guess they were just sort of walk-on cameos people. The music was great. Like, my favorite songs were Rainbow Connection, which I think would have been a great song for Jim Henson's funeral if they played it at his funeral. I think that would have been pretty cool. Moving Right Along was great. And Can You Picture That? Love those.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing too, is like, yeah, these have musical like attributes to it. Like, there's actual like fun music you can sing along to. And that's not something that we see often anymore in children's shows.
Really? You think so?
I mean, yeah, but maybe it's just like me being like super overly critical of how awful they are. I don't know.
You're cynical of the modern sensibilities of a modern children's programming.
Yes.
You know, that's a really funny thing. Like, is the are things sort of becoming more watered down, or is it that we're getting older, so the newer things seem to like not be as good?
It's probably that one, actually. Just me being an old man.
Because I was watching something, and it gave me a perspective that I didn't think about, in that with the advent of digital, different creative outlets, music, filmmaking, etc., have been more easy to produce. And so there's also been a bigger demand for it. So there's like way more stuff. There's way more content being pushed out now more than ever. And there's lots of trash stuff that's coming out. And it's probably partially that. And I think wasn't PG-13 sort of a more recent creation? Because PG used to mean basically PG-13 as well, but mm-hmm. PG-13 was like made in like the 90s or something. So,
yeah.
So I think that maybe parents of millennials and like Gen X, I think, or whatever, their parents maybe like sheltered them and like watered stuff down. So maybe they forgot, you know, how like smart kids can be, and that they can understand more complex stories and like emotion.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, it's saving them. Because listen, my dad took me to watch like Jurassic Park when I was a kid in theaters when it first came out. I'm pretty sure that was rated PG as well. A 6-year-old should not be watching Jurassic Park.
You think so?
I don't think so.
You know, my parents probably should have been more careful about what I watched. Like, they really didn't care. Like, they would take me to rated R movies and like horror stuff. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I have a different perspective
Well, yeah. I mean, I love that movie, though. I just, like, I'm thinking, like, my dad, yeah, like, he just didn't care. Like, he was just chill with it. Like, but, you know, thinking back, it's like, should I have been exposed to that? Should I? I don't know.
You handled it, right?
You're right. You know what? I am alive. Okay. I'm alive. I'm all right.
It didn't scar you mentally.
I didn't say that.
You know what? Yeah, you're probably right. That's why you're kind of weird.
Yep. Okay. So, but this was your actual, like, first experience with the Muppets-ish, though?
In, like, a full context. Like, I would see them in interviews where they were, like, people were talking to them. And it's cool to know that they're actually, like, real, you know, they're not puppets like what you say. That's just an act so that no one tries to like cut them open and study them.
That makes real. You know what, I actually kind of like that. I like to believe that there is this part of Hollywood where they're not actually like stuffed in a closet, but they're actually like alive, walking around, talking to people.
Yeah, well, the little rods on their hands and such are added in post. Like, they're not actually there. Because have you noticed that sticks on their hands, they're not in sync with their body. Like,
yeah.
Like what they're saying doesn't go with how their hands move.
Yeah, they're just kind of waved around.
And that's why they don't show their feet for the most part, because they're very self-conscious about their lower halves. So they try not to show them on screen for too long.
It's because they're not wearing pants, right?
They're exhibitionists, yes. And because this is a family film, they don't want to, you know, yeah, they don't want to show. They're kind of shy about that.
Yeah, so what else is, do you have any other thoughts about this film? Like
the ending was kind of weird. Like the ending was how the movie started or something, or something. Like the movie was them going to Hollywood, and like the way that it ended was also a part of the movie, I think, right?
I honestly, like, I have no idea. I cannot give you an answer for this one. This is just one of those films that, like, you just need to watch it in order to just understand what Garrison's trying to say. Because it just kind of ends, like.
Right, and we, like, go through the theater and, like, people are talking and stuff. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, this film, you know, obviously was amazing. I just wanted to add this little like snippet in there because I thought this little factoid was cool after reading about it. So the closing reprise of Rainbow Connection featured a crowd of more than 250 Muppet characters. Virtually every Muppet that had been created up to that point in time, which was all of them. According to Jim Henson, there was 137 puppeteers that were enlisted for the from the Puppeteers of America to perform every Muppet. And then prior to the day-long filming of the shot, Henson gave the enthusiastic participants a lesson in the art of cinematic puppetry. Amazingly, it did just take one day to do all of that. So I think that's just a testament to Jim Henson's vision. Like, he was able to coordinate 137 people to do something with over 250 Muppets, or, you know, puppets. And then beyond that, like, just amazing.
Well, he is the master of puppets for a reason. You know, he was basically puppeting the people who are puppeting the puppets.
Whoa.
It's brilliant.
It's meta.
But I will say that this film did make me curious and excited to hopefully cover for more Muppets in the future. Because I think Disney Plus has actually a new Muppets show coming on right now or something. But yeah, they're still making new stuff for Muppets, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I mean, and it's probably going to continue as long as Disney owns it. Anyway, that is the end of Saga Podcast for today. Next time you'll be listening to us, we'll be covering a really cool Netflix thing that is part two of this other one called Love, Death, and Robots Part 2. Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and animation things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you before you head off that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, a review, anything that you like, and we will appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you next time.
Bye. See you next time. I hope you liked it. Come again.